Ooh. Let's do her.
It's fucking
game day.
Game day.
Let's drink beer, spark sick, and have no fear because the Hawks are gonna win today.
Let's black out and rage. It's fucking
game day. Let's drink beer, spark sick, and have no fear because the Hawks are gonna win today.
Let's black out and rage.
After the game when we're all tore up,
ow, we'll meet at Mickey's, drunk as fuck.
Hey,
order a car bomb, call it a night.
Go home, get as high as a kite,
because it's
game day. Let's drink beer, spark a cig, and have no fear because
the Hawks
are gonna win today. Let's black out and rage. It's fucking game day.
Welcome in, Iowa Hawkeye fans, to another episode of the Hawkeye Tailgate Report. I'm Luke Myers. We got everybody here tonight: Joey, Austin, Matthew, and Space Cowboy. It's officially game week here in Iowa City. Nope, well, Purdue, West Lafayette, or wherever it is. Hawkeye's taking them on this Saturday, 2:30. Fellas, it's been a month and a half or so since we done it last. How are we doing?
Pretty good, not gonna lie. Game week, it gets things moving, if you know what I mean.
I don't.
I'm not gonna expand on
it. Oh, come on, Joey, you don't? If you're not excited, like, when I woke up on Monday morning, yeah, it was Monday, it sucked. But there was the salvation at the end of the tunnel. Our long national nightmare is over. We're going to have college football back here.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to meet the first game week of Iowa football.
It is. It's going to have a different look this year. Obviously, whole COVID shit, so no fans. Aside from family, I'm up for adoption if anybody's willing. But what do you guys – how is this going to look this season? Do you think?
I think that Iowa's pretty much just going to steamroll everybody in the pack. So
I was talking about, like, as far as this coronavirus crap goes.
Well, Illinois has an unfair advantage because they're used to playing in front of absolutely nobody. So yeah, that actually might get them an extra couple of wins this year.
Yeah. That actually applies for a lot of teams, the Big Ten. Rutgers, sure. Look out for them. Maryland. Could be sneaky good this year.
Not Nebraska. I mean, the sellout.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll still have 5 or 6 sellouts.
I actually read an article about it this year, and they just said that they're not counting this football season against their sellout record.
Well, they didn't count the game last year either, and there was 5,000 empty seats.
Yeah, their sellout record is pretty shady anyway, because the way that they do it is they're basically like, they allot X number of tickets to, like, the opposing team, and then, like, whatever that team isn't using, they return to Nebraska, and then if they just don't resell those tickets, they still count them as having been sold already, so they count it towards their sellout streak. So it's pretty much bullshit anyway. So fuck Nebraska.
Hell yeah.
Always and forever.
One good thing about this whole coronavirus crap, the rescheduling, Iowa does get Nebraska the day after Thanksgiving, which I always loved that game, so pretty happy about that. But
that was a blessing in disguise for, well, all of us here, because now there isn't a game on Jake's wedding that day anymore. Our cousin Jake, well, mine and Matthew's and Space Cowboy's cousin, I'm the best man at the wedding, no big deal.
You're right.
But it's not on football Saturday anymore, so that's a big time win for Iowa football.
I don't know.
I was looking forward to it.
Contrary to what most people think, I sort of like football games on weddings, because then, like, it gives everybody kind of like a little thing to gather around the table and watch it on the phone or find a TV, and I mean, because you're watching it with the boys then.
You see, but I wasn't going to be able to be a part of that because I'm going to have to be in all the wedding festivities, taking a bunch of pictures.
So it would have been a great time for us.
Yeah, that would have made my viewing experience so much better.
Okay, so we're going to preview the football season tonight. We're going to talk about favorite offensive threat, defensive threat. We got over-under set. what our record will look like, and we have a bold statement from each of us coming at the end on what could happen this season. God knows what's going to happen. So where do you guys want to start right away?
Let's do MVPs or breakout players, whatever you want to call it.
The offensive or defensive?
I'll start with the offense.
All right. So who wants to take her first? Because, like, this is the best offense we've ever, or most weapons we've ever had.
Yeah. So are we looking for a breakout player or just a player that we have high expectations for? Because I don't know necessarily that there's a player on this offense that you're necessarily going to be like, he's going to be a breakout star this year, because we pretty well know what we have, and what we have is really fucking good. Like, I don't think there's anybody that's going to shock us.
There's one breakout guy, and his name is Sam Laporta, but, like, it's not a breakout if you already see it coming a little bit. So
more,
like,
expected, yeah.
Well, the way I'm looking at it, it's just offensive threat you're looking most forward to. So I'll start. Mine's kind of out there. Tyrone Tracy. I love that dude. He was so good last year in games when Brandon Smith wasn't around. Granted, he did drop a few passes, but, like, he had the big touchdown late at Wisconsin. He had the big touchdown at Northwestern. I know it's Northwestern, but it was still a big touchdown at the time. And he's just got... He kind of reminds me of a little bit of ISM, because he's super elusive, and if he can fit... If you remember correctly, we love ISM now. His freshman year, he was... good old stone hands. Like, he had some bad drops his freshman year. So I think he'll grow into a more sturdy, reliable role. And he's second on the depth chart, sure, but, like, it's not a bad option to have behind Brandon Smith out there.
Oh, for sure.
And Duke,
should I go next?
Yeah, go for it.
Somebody.
Take it away.
I'm most excited to see Spencer Petras, because I think that he should be pretty good. I mean, they always talk about how he broke all Goff's records and whatnot, but also just because if he sucks, the rest of the team is most likely going to suck as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm anxious to see how he's going to do. I think he'll do just fine, but if he doesn't, could be a big trouble.
No. I don't think that'll be bad. Everything that I've read about him coming from within the program is nothing but blowing reviews, saying how... And it's, you got to remember, he enrolled early at Iowa, so he had, like, an extra spring practice, like, before COVID came in and screwed everything up. So even though he's only, a redshirt sophomore this year, he's been with the team, like, half a year longer, so he's had more time to learn the playbook and just be around the program. So I think that's a huge help for him this year, especially since COVID, like, pretty much didn't allow them to have any spring football this year, and, like, with being shut down and not having, like, a normal fall training camp either, I think that's gonna prove huge for him and his production in this year's season.
Do you guys think that, like, you look back in the Ferentz era, every quarterback's first year has been absolutely insane, and then they take a steady decline. Do you think that's the case?
I sure hope not.
Yeah. I mean, we have to see what he does this year before we can even talk about him maybe having a fall off the year after.
No, I'm saying, do you think he has that first year bump?
Oh, definitely. He's got the best playmaking around him. Any team, Iowa team ever, so I don't
very good chance to.
Yeah,
he's got the arm.
Yeah, that too.
Also,
so, Nate Stanley was pretty good. He caught a lot of flack from fans because sometimes he didn't make the routine happen, but overall he was a pretty solid quarterback, and he never had a season where he finished with a completion percentage of 60% or higher. So, like, if Petras even does that for the season, like, we're talking about him being better than Stanley in any of his seasons. So that would be very, very good.
All right, so, Sten, who's your guy then?
I think it's got to be Tyler Goodson for me. He really showed he can be coming on real strong in the last games of the season, being the first ever true starter, or true freshman starter at running back for Kirk. I just think that... he has such a high ceiling at the running back position that Iowa hasn't had in a long time. Like, I think that he's the best parts of, like, what Akron Wadley was, but he's heavier than him, so, like, he'll be able to be a bit more of a bruiser, won't have, like, the injury worries that you might have had about Wadley. I just think that he can he has the ability to break off huge runs. I think that he'll be consistent. I think he's going to give Iowa the best chance to rush for, like, over 4 yards a carry for the season in a long time. So I'm just most excited to see him, because if the running game goes for Iowa, if we get 100 yards a game rushing, what was the stat, Luke? We're like 42 and 45 and 2,
yeah.
Yeah. So if we can average 100 yards rushing per game, like, Iowa basically doesn't lose when that happens. So I think that if Goodson can be what we think he is, like, this team is going to be very, very good. So I'm most excited for him because I have very high expectations for what he can be.
Here's a question. Okay, so Iowa and Wisconsin are super similar programs, correct? I think Wisconsin tends to run the ball more, and do you think that's why they have more success?
No.
Maybe their defense is always just a little bit better.
I think that their offensive line is consistent.
Yeah, I was going to say their offensive line.
Talent as well.
I think they just have no choice but to run the ball because they always have such a god-awful quarterback.
That's true, yeah. I think that they run it more by design because they're better at running it than we are, not just because, like, yeah. Not because they only, like, choose to run the ball more because they're going to be like, well, we just want to run the ball 30 times a game. I think that they do it more because they're better than we have been at doing it. It's set up the success that they've had over the last decade.
Side note on Wisconsin. What has anybody heard an update on their quarterback?
I think that he's, at least for week one, not going to be able to play.
What?
He got some type of injury in practice.
I think it was Poseidus.
That'll get the best of him.
He probably sucks anyway.
He had a pretty good year last year.
He's better than Hornibrook was. He's better than Stavi was.
That doesn't take much.
High marks to reach.
Well, yeah, but like Stavi, I think, what did Hoppe tell us that one time we had him on here? That Stavi's like regarded as the best Wisconsin quarterback.
Embarrassing.
Which that's, yeah, super embarrassing. But, hey, Matthew and Space Cowboy, what do we got here for offensive threats?
Hit him.
I'll go with mine. So I'm going with Brandon Smith.
Motherfucker.
He's going to be electric. The dude is a big body. He's going to go up and get balls. Just a couple stats on him. Last year, in 8 games, he had 439 yards and 5 tutties. I think he's going to do better than that this year in 8 games, 9 games if you count the last conference game or whatever. And also, side note on Brandon Smith is he's only gone over 100 yards once in his career. It was against Purdue last year, so I like the start right there.
But he also got hurt in that game last year.
Also got hurt in that game, correct. Yeah, so.
Yeah, he's a freak.
I don't know. I think he's going to have a good game against Purdue.
Also, he kind of is one of those names where he might come back next year. Have him, Tracy, and Reganey. I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah, talk about sleepers. I had almost completely forgotten about Nico Reganey.
Oh, yeah.
And we're well, like...
He'll be able to play 6 years if you count, like, the 4 red shirt. And they say, like, there's no way he doesn't break the reception record.
Well, I mean, he was good last year, too.
He broke these days.
Yeah.
What was that?
Good. That needs to be broken these days.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So yours is Brandon Smith, too, right, Space Cowboy?
Well, I'm going to call an audible because I don't want to be a copycat. So I'm going to wild card. Straight out of space, Mekhi Sargent. He has a resurrection this year, and we see a little thunder and lightning from the best Iowa football teams, where you get pound the ball, and then you get Goodson maybe not getting as many carries, but having more touches in general in the second half, and getting him involved in the passing game. Plus, he's a phenomenal pass blocker.
What percentage of the snaps do you guys think Goodson will get in the backfield this year? Because, I mean, they have three good options.
60.
75.
I'd say 75 is probably a bit high. 65.
I think they're going to try and keep him fresh in the first half.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely the feature back.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's the thing about keeping him fresh in the first half. The season is cut by a third already. So, like, I don't know. I don't really see that argument there, considering it's
only... Well, no, I'm saying you wear down the defense the first half of the game. Oh, and then
I thought you meant of the season.
No, not the season. No, no, no. And then you get him more touches in the second half when, you know, he's a little fresher. But I think kind of the way the Packers use Aaron Jones, I think, is what I think it'd be a good fit for how they use Goodson.
That's enough Packers talk. Well, you remember last year there was like I can remember him several times splitting out Goodson. Like he had a huge catch against Michigan last year in a game where we had like very few big plays. He was one of the big guys along the sidelines that time to come down with the catch. But yeah, so who do you think there will be an offensive player who may take a step back from last year?
I'm just gonna say it, Goodson.
Yeah, I think he's got to be the only option because he did so well last year, and everybody he's so hyped up now. I don't know if he doesn't meet any
projections. He has that ability, but he also had a couple games where he was averaging like 2 yards a carry.
See, I'm kind of thinking ISM might take a step back. Because there was a little while where we were kind of depleted last year with Brandon Smith being out and whatnot. And obviously the tight ends not being great. Who was our starter? Beyer last year at the beginning of the year? And then.
Brutal.
Yeah. Serious question.
He's a good blocking tight end, not a receiving threat.
All right, moving on. You got a question?
So the first game, the first games that are scheduled, and then you have that ninth one. Does that ninth one factor into like who makes the championship, or is that just
no?
Like...
So that last one is like the first seed in each division plays in the conference championship, and then the rest of the seeding throughout the division just match up as a way to get one extra game in that year. But it's
so we probably play Michigan.
So you could play that game if you're in the top seed.
Like that game,
like the
is
championship
the
is that game. So you're not playing two games. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. It
will be in Ohio State.
Okay.
Hopefully they're letting in fans that day. That's the week before the Iowa Gonzaga basketball game, right? Or is that the day of?
Yeah,
that
is going to be an electric day.
Yeah, that would be insane.
What is it?
It's perfect too because the Iowa Gonzaga game's at 11, so you get to watch that in its entirety.
Be disappointed.
Yeah,
and then be very disappointed.
Take a bit of
more disappointment.
The conference and the Big Ten championship game, then
and be disappointed the whole day.
The date is December 19th, right?
Correct.
Oh, man. Whew.
That could potentially be the worst day ever.
Or
it's going to ruin Christmas. The best.
Yeah, it could be the greatest day ever either. All right. Moving on, we're going to defensive player you're looking forward to most watching this year. Now, the defense has taken some big blows over the last couple of years with guys just randomly entering the draft early, which doesn't really happen too often for Iowa. And so it's kind of a big question mark for the Hawks. You lost Epinesa, Ojemudia. Who else are we?
Stone,
yeah. Like, some pretty key pieces to this defense you're missing from last year's team. I'll start again here. I'm looking forward to see Chauncey Golston because it seems like Iowa usually has a pretty solid edge rush. I don't know what to think here because we have so much question marks all over the defensive side of the ball. I feel if we can get pressure on the quarterback, that will force more mistakes to the secondary, which we do have experience at, actually, with we got Brents, Moss,
Hankins.
Like, Kerner. There's plenty of experience, Kerner, Merriweather, a ton of guys that have game experience. So if we can get pressure up front, force terrible decisions to go downfield, I think we can do it. Golston's got to do it, though.
Yeah, oh, it starts with him.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be mine. I'll go next, so I got a different one. I'll go with Matt Hankins. I'm really interested to see if he can develop into that lockdown corner that Iowa seemed to have for the last couple years. I'm going to have an eye out for that. That's going to be interesting. I think he could definitely transition into a leader on the defense this year.
Somebody has to. And, I mean, like, we don't really see the breakout seasons in the secondary come at – like, it's Desmond King in 2015 just kind of struck gold early on in the season and continued that role. Same with Josh Jackson. Just 1 year, bam, that was it. So maybe Hankins can do it. All right. Joey Austin, Space Cowboy?
Yeah, I'll go. So for me, it's going to be Dane Belton. He's going to be – he's. We're talking about him as being the starter at the cash position, and I was 4-2-5 alignment. And as if that's going to be the base defense moving forward, which it sounds like it's going to be since you encounter so many more spread offenses these days, that's kind of the most important defensive position that I was going to have now, because you have to be able to be quick enough to get back into coverage, but you also need to be strong enough to be a run stopper. So he kind of tested out that position last year and had some success at it, and this year it's definitely – it's his role to lose, basically. So I think that it'll be fun to watch him step into that role and see how well he handles it.
Isn't Barrington in front of him on the depth chart?
Oh, I have it right here. Let me check.
I've seen it change a couple times. I've heard Belton might play more safety. And
the last that I looked, it was. He was, I mean.
Internet's being shitty right now.
Well, Belton's starting somewhere.
I got Belton right here. Yeah, I got Belton at the top of the depth chart, but.
Yeah, this one, yeah, it's different on different ones, but.
All right. Space Cowboy?
I think Nixon is going to be the best defensive player. He's just unbelievable how quick he is with his size and how explosive. But I'm most looking forward to watching Campbell at middle linebacker. He's just a freak athlete. He's big, 6'5", 240, can run. I watched him play state basketball a couple times, and he just has good feet. I mean, once he gets those reps under him, I think his athletic ability, his ability to cover, you know, the pass, and him and Neiman both. I mean, I think we might have two linebackers leading the team in interceptions. But
really?
Yeah, I don't know. I just they seem – I know they go with two of them now and Colbert's out, but I think that he's just someone that you'll see get better every week. And it'd be nice to finally have a three-year start in the middle.
Yeah, I thought that – I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I just saw today – that Campbell is actually going to be out for week one against Purdue. So then Neiman is going to be starting at middle.
What happened to Benson? Or not Benson, to Campbell?
I don't remember. I saw it on Twitter somewhere. It sounds like it's just like it's not a serious injury, but it's something that's going to keep him out for week one.
Well, I mean, I was kind of surprised in general just because Neiman – being the senior who's played so much, I figured he would just take over the middle for the year. But, I don't know. He's just someone I'm excited to watch.
Actually, Matthew, on this depth chart, I was looking at it wrong. It is Barrington.
Okay.
At the cash. All right, Joey, who you got?
Well, I typically learn the defenses by watching it. And since we lost all the guys that I knew, I will have to get back to you on that.
I figured that'd be a tough one for you to answer. Okay. Do you guys want to look at the schedule now and like talk record wise or do over unders right now?
I don't care. Record.
We'll do record. Okay, so I'll just run through it. Jeez, Matthew, tell your roommates to keep it down.
Or just mute yourself. until you need to talk.
So their schedule looks like start with at Purdue, home Northwestern, home Michigan State, at Minnesota, at Penn State, home Nebraska, at Illinois, home Wisconsin. And I believe three of those are Friday night games.
Ooh.
Which I'm fine with Nebraska being a Friday night game, but just kind of sucks.
Just a quick update on Jack Campbell. I did a little Twitter searching. This is from Scott Dochterman. He says that he's likely out this week with an undisclosed illness.
COVID. Yeah.
Actually,
I would have announced that it was
you heard
COVID.
It here first.
I did see. There was actually a reporter said that they asked Ferentz about injuries and illnesses and whatnot, and he said he won't answer them until after the game. So, well,
damn.
While we're on the
well, maybe Justin Jacobs gets a shot.
I think that he'd be very good.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have somebody be able to cover in the middle of this week because I can't watch Purdue's wide receivers go for 200 yards again.
Ugh.
Yeah, according to Scott, it's going to be Nick Neiman is going to start at middle linebacker, and then it could be a couple different guys that are rotating in at weak side.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Well, at least they have some depth at the linebacker position this year.
Okay, so back to the schedule here. Me personally, so I'm counting Purdue, Northwestern, Michigan State, and Illinois as wins for sure. So that gets you four wins, four games to play. And that leaves Minnesota, Penn State, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. And, I mean, it's safe to say you split there. You can go 2-2 through that and put you at 6-2. But honestly, I could see us losing to, like, all of those teams. As much as it hates, I pain to say it, the games against Nebraska are usually close, aside from the year we put a 50-burger on them. So, I don't know what to think about this. What does anybody else say?
I don't think we lose to Nebraska or Minnesota. Those two teams are just kind of perennially hyped up because of their D-bag coaches. And then I think that we split with Penn State and Wisconsin. At this point, I'd call either of those games a coin toss. Beating Wisconsin would be much more influential to our season, but due to the fact that Penn State has beat us for like the last seven consecutive years, there would be something very sweet about finally fucking beating them.
So you're saying we go 7-1?
Yes. I think it's possible.
Give me what he's got.
Okay, here's just for reference here. Here's Wisconsin's schedule: Illinois, Nebraska, Purdue, at Michigan, Northwestern, Minnesota, Indiana, and Iowa. So there's like three difficult games on that list. So it's basically the same thing as Iowa's. I guess Penn State's tougher than Michigan. Man, I don't know what to say there. Oof, 7-1. What? Any other input here? 7-1.
I go for it. 6-2. Optimistically, 7-1. I think that's the ceiling.
Fucking high, you guys are.
Yeah, you know what? It's before the season. We've waited this goddamn long for football. Excuse me for being excited and maybe having a more pick for what our goddamn record is going to be.
Well, you end up in the fucking psychiatrist's office, getting all dosed up. Huh? We know why.
Okay. I was saying optimistically.
For my entire life has set me up for failure. I've handled it pretty well to this point. But you know what? I'm going to be stupid and excited and have high expectations for the season because that's the kind of fan that I am. Stupid. So that's what we're going to keep going with.
What do you think, Space Cowboy?
All right, I've got 5-3. And buckle up here.
Oh, gross.
We're going to get Penn State.
We're going to beat them?
Yeah, we're going to beat Penn State. As much as I think I don't feel great about Minnesota, I think we're going to fucking go in and knock them off. Riding high. But our losses are to Wisconsin. Nebraska is going to get us.
You get the fuck out of here.
That Duncan kiss has just got, I don't know, man. And here's my surprise pick, Illinois.
Honestly, they have not. Wait, is that at Illinois?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not that big of a surprise, honestly.
Illinois has got a pretty solid team.
Dude, they were bowl eligible last year. They beat Michigan State. They almost beat Iowa.
They beat Wisconsin.
Yeah. Like, that was kind of like a fun team to watch last year because they were pretty gritty. I don't know.
Speaking of bowl eligibility, congratulations to Scott Frost for officially being bowl eligible at Nebraska for the first time in his coaching career. I know it's been a real difficult season for you so far, and you know you just grinded out those zero wins to get over that hump. So, congratulations.
Yeah, they're going to play Nebraska Kearney.
Good joke, Austin.
I thought it was.
Joey, what do you think?
Well, if you think I know little about our own team, wait till you hear me try to talk about these other teams. But also,
just flip a coin for every game.
If I choose this, it's going to interfere with my bold prediction that I have coming up. So, stay tuned. I'm out on this topic.
All right.
You'd be a good politician.
For those keeping track at home, that's two topics Joey has been out on.
For the football preview episode.
Ask me about Jack Nungi.
You're like the color guy from Major League. They don't call him the best color man in the league for nothing. Okay, so now we're going to get to the over-unders here. We have, I'll just run through them quick. Goodson rush yards, 701.5. Petrus touchdowns, 13.5. That's just passing, by the way, is what I intended. Duncan field goal percentage, 83.5. Also, credit to us for this being the first time we've mentioned Keith Duncan's name a half an hour into the football preview.
It's really more just a you thing, Luke.
Oh, come on. No way. I remember.
We all like him. You have an affair with him.
No, it's not an affair. Consensual.
Yeah.
Consensual.
Okay, and then Laporta catches, 19.5. Brandon Smith and ISM total touchdowns, 10.5. Sack leader, 4.5, and name somebody. And then turnover differential, plus 1.5. So,
I'll start this one.
Hold on, let me get my notebook.
Don't see it from last year either.
All right, Joey. Just the Goodson rush yards.
Goodson rush yards under.
Oh, really?
Petrus passing touchdowns. What? Over. What?
I thought we were going to do this one by one, but whatever.
Oh. That would take longer, wouldn't it?
Probably.
Okay, so you said under, over.
Yep. Duncan field goal percentage, 83.5. I will say that's a push.
What a fucking...
Come on, that's
not a cop out. That's harder. That's making it harder for me to win.
Yeah, but
you're making it more unnecessarily difficult than it has
for myself.
Yeah, exactly. I just
you're a moron.
Laporta catches. Push. Just kidding. Under. Smith brothers touchdowns under.
Wait. What was the Laporta?
19.5. I'll take the under on his catches.
And you said under on the Smith touchdowns?
Yep, under 10.5.
Jesus.
Sack leader, I'll take over 4.5, and we'll remain to see who that is. Turnover differential, plus 1.5. I'll take the over.
Alrighty. You're such a pussy for that Keith Duncan push.
I don't know why you think that makes me a pussy. It makes me, like, a savage.
I mean, technically speaking, yes, 83.5% is, like, you can attain that, but...
Doable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it makes it harder for me to do well, and I'm a pussy.
It was just dumb. Please.
All right. Who wants to go next?
I will.
All right, Theo, Sender.
All right, so Goodson rush yards, I'm going to go over. Petrus pass yards, I'm going over. Duncan field goal percentage, I'm going to go over. Laporta catches under. The Smith Bros touchdowns over. I'm going to hammer that over. Sack leader, I'm going to take under. But I think Chauncey Golston will lead the team in sacks.
Okay.
Me too.
And then turnover differential.
Oh, my bad. Forgot about that. I'm going to take the under on that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, the like...
Might be a lot of picks.
You know, I was like...
Yeah, that's what I think.
Had like the most interceptions over the last 2 years, right?
First year starter. It could be ugly, potentially.
All right. Sten, you want to take her?
Sure. Goodson rush yards. I'll take the over on that. Passing touchdowns for Petrus. Also going to go over, but by half, I think.
Ooh.
But I chose over or under.
Yeah, but
that's because it's not possible for him to get 13 and a half touchdowns, Stan.
Yeah, you can't choose exactly 13 and a half.
I didn't. I said he's going to be over that by a half. Yeah, so 14. I know.
So that's why you couldn't take the push, because you can't have half a touchdown.
Oh, my God. Duncan field goal percentage, I'm going to take the over as well. Laporta catches, I'm going to go under. Smith Bros touchdowns, also going to go under. I just think that there's so many different playmakers, potential touchdown receivers on the team that they just won't combine for 11 total.
Just remember that ISM returns kickoffs too.
Yeah.
So.
He gets an occasional jet sweep that he could bust too. So,
yeah,
I'll show you his bust.
Sack leader, I'm gonna go over, and I'm gonna say it's gonna be Nixon. And I'm gonna take the over on our turnover differential as well.
Space Cowboy.
All right, rush yards under, because we're not gonna get 9 games in. Pass touchdowns under. Because Alex Padilla is our chosen one, and he's going to end the season. He's our next Ricky Stanzi.
What?
Wow.
So you're calling Spencer Petras Jake Christensen right now.
A California loser.
And
if I'm wrong, like I hope I am, because I think he has a cannon, then you're welcome. I did that.
This isn't even his bold prediction section of the show either.
No, yeah, you're right. It's not. So I'm taking under. I just think he's going to get hurt, actually. You know. Guys from California are kind of pussies. What was the next one?
Field goal percentage, 83.5.
Under. Huge bust here. He comes back for a super senior year. Keep reading it to me. I can't remember.
Jesus. Laporta catches 19 and a half.
Push.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, to give him, it's like a half tackle, half catch.
That's not a thing.
Two all guys. Right,
we'll take the under, exactly 19.
All right.
Keep going. I don't remember them.
Oh, shit. ISM and Smith total touchdowns.
Over.
10.5.
Over. Big over.
Yeah.
Sack leader, 4.5, and name them.
I'm actually going to push Nixon, 4.5.
Now that's a push.
See, why is that my surprise pick, though, my surprise, Dane Belton. We can't get pressure. We start blitzing.
I'll kiss your ass if we start blitzing on a regular basis.
Might have to.
And then turnover.
Nixon, 4.5.
Turnover differential plus 1.5.
If Petrus starts more than 3 games, under.
Either
if Padilla starts 5 or more, over.
No, take one.
Under.
Really?
Well, I don't think we're going to force very many turnovers this year.
You don't think, like, maybe the lack of practice time allows for more?
No. Have you been watching any of these games right now? People are scoring a record high. I think 5 teams in the West are going to average 30 or more.
You know what I heard today, which not Big Ten related at all? I was listening to Unnecessary Roughness. The SEC has a higher points per game right now than the Big 12.
Yeah.
That's wild. But, all right, so my over-unders. We're going to go... We haven't had a... we'll go over on Goodson's yards. Petrus touchdowns. We'll take the over. Duncan field goal percentage. The only reason I'm saying over here is because last year he kicked or made 29 field goals. So that means he attempted like, what, 33 or something, 32? He isn't going to attempt that many. That's why I think he'll be over this year. Laporta catches 19 and a half. Yes. Over.
You just
want to
take them all?
No, I'm saying under for Smith and ISM total touchdowns. Because I do think, well, I feel for a young quarterback, tight end is kind of a reliable weapon to have, especially with some of the routes they've had Iowa tight ends run over the years. So that's kind of why I'm seeing that. But sack leader, we'll go. You know what? I'll do it. I'll take the under. But I do think Golston will lead the team.
Jesus.
And then the turnover differential, I'll take the over on that. Just because, I mean, Phil Parker is a very, very good defensive mind, and he'll create stuff. He'll figure it out. We'll be fine. We'll be just fine. If we can get a little pressure, the secondary has enough experience where we should be able to generate more than plus 1.5 on the season. All right, so I'll put that together and put it up on social media and see what people think. But now it's time for the bold predictions on the year. So, since Space Cowboys, what was his bold thing that he had already said?
Well, that's not my bold one, though.
Yeah, I know, but what was it?
That Padilla was going to be starting at the end of the year.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, it's Padilla.
It's Padilla. Yeah. But we'll have you start here.
All right. Illinois wins the West. it's a bold
All right, now I gotta look up Illinois' schedule.
I thought they were supposed to be bold predictions for the Iowa specifically, not the Big Ten in general.
Okay, well, they finish ahead of Iowa then in the West.
There is no way. There is no way Illinois wins the West. They got on their schedule. They got Wisconsin, Minnesota,
you really
Ohio
just
State, and Iowa.
Bizarre.
What?
All right.
You really bold just need to tell us what their crossover games are because they play all the other teams in the West.
Yeah,
true. Well, their biggest crossover game is Ohio State.
Well, yeah, that's
they're not winning that.
I
mean,
one of their two losses.
They got what?
That's one of their two losses.
Wait. Oh, so you think they go 6-2?
Yeah.
Who's their other loss? Wisconsin or Iowa? No, you said
it's going to be Nebraska, but Nebraska won't be able to catch them.
So you're Actually, saying they're going to beat Wisconsin on the road and Iowa?
Yes.
And Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Oof.
Love these boys. They got some swagger.
I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong. Okay.
They call it bold for a reason. It's not supposed to be right.
Yeah. All right. Who wants to go next here?
I will. When Iowa and Wisconsin play on December 12th, they will both be undefeated.
So, you agree with my 7-1 prediction then, right?
No.
Oh, Joey's saying
they're
going 8-0.
They're
going
to go undefeated.
Yeah.
Oh, Joey! All right, somebody did it. Look at the nuts on this guy.
These teams are a bunch of chumps. We all know that. I mean, think about it. We've almost gotten over the hump against Penn State in recent years. We're going to beat them this time. Wisconsin, I have no faith in. And Minnesota, also no faith. We have an easy schedule if you really look at it. We miss Ohio State and Michigan.
Put Penn State better than Michigan.
Penn State's not better than Michigan.
Yes, they are.
Oh, Michigan's got a lot of defense back.
And Penn State's always – I think Penn State's always not as good as, like, they are either like hyped up to be, or they actually play to be. I feel like
you think every Michigan
time,
is
every time we play Penn State, I feel like we should have beaten them.
Yeah,
I think you're forgetting when Saquon Barkley shoved his dick down our throat repeatedly.
The first time or the second time?
Bold.
Okay.
The second time was the most heartbreaking game of my life.
Yeah, that was awful.
All right, Stan, what's your bold statement for the year?
Iowa averages 40-plus points per game for the season. We're gonna do the LSU Joe Burrow year type situation where all of a sudden we got the fucking playmakers. We just got to make it work. And with if it's anything like all the rest of the conferences where defense just has not been a thing, it's attainable.
And there's like when we score like 17 against Wisconsin and Northwestern, we got to score like 60 multiple times. Yeah.
These are bold predictions, boys. Bold. 40-plus points for the season. Per game.
All right, Theo.
All right, not going to lie, this one is coming completely from left field because I don't even know if Brandon Smith can throw the ball, but I'm going to say he's going to have a passing touchdown this year.
There we go.
That's the most realistic one so far.
It's going to happen.
I like it.
Okay, this is super bold and out there. Iowa will be playing in the Outback Bowl. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go with Tyler Goodson is invited to the Heisman Trophy final, like top three finalist.
Damn. He gets COVID in New York City and then can't play in the national championship.
Hey, Luke, they're going to get us there.
You should post a poll and have people vote on which of our bold predictions is most likely to come true.
Yeah, I will, but like it's tough because there's only the Twitter poll option's only four, which blows.
God, that is so stupid.
Yeah, that is.
Well, yeah.
I guess we can take out Sten's stupid one.
Fuck you.
Muggy.
Okay, Mr. My bold prediction isn't even that fucking Petrus won't be the starter after three games.
Well, we'll see.
I did have a I was tempted to say ISM will instead of Goodson was going to be invited to the Heisman finalist, but I don't know. Who was the last wide receiver to do that? Probably was Amari Cooper invited? Or I can't remember.
Might have been like Desmond Howard.
No, dude, there was one a couple years ago.
I have no clue. Was Julio?
That was more than a couple years ago. Let me check. Is there any? So that wraps up like our football talks.
No.
Oh,
I still have my new segment.
Well, also, has Space Cowboy not given his real bold prediction yet?
He did. Illinois wins the West.
Oh yeah, I forgot because that wasn't an Iowa specific one.
Well, yeah, and that changed it. They'll finish ahead of Iowa in first place.
Fuck you.
Well, I was going to ask, do you want to talk about anything basketball-related quick, or do you want to...
Let's save it.
Save basketball? Because we're about a month away from basketball as well, so got to keep that in mind.
What are you talking about? Football season just starts in August, doesn't it? Oh, wait.
All right, so we have a new segment here. Joey brought it up last week or whatever, and last year you did Urban Dictionary read, but considering you played the teams already, you can't go back and say the same shit about the team, so Joey picked this up. So what do you got, Joe?
We had a good run with Urban Dictionary. It was great. Maybe we'll bring it back one day. Oh, my God.
Could you not?
But anyway, so I decided I was going to write a poem for all the teams we played. So I call the segment Big Ten Joetry. You get it?
Uh-huh.
So for Purdue, for Jeff Brom, in regards to Purdue football, I don't really know what to say, except for that I am supremely confident every time we play. On the hardwood, though, it's a completely different story. because they always have one or two dudes turn into Robert fucking Horry. I don't really know many Purdue stars except for Drew Brees. I do, however, know that Rondale Moore catches nearly every pass he sees. The Purdue-Iowa highlight I personally enjoy best is when we beat them in a blizzard to clinch the Big Ten West. Coach Brohm has COVID, but it won't be his downfall, because as the former XFL legend once said, do I not currently have a pulse? Yes, I do. Let's play football.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
That was lovely.
I was hoping you were going to pull up the XFL part.
By the way, I looked it up. It was Amari Cooper in 2014 was the last wide receiver invited. Is anybody going to have some money on the game this weekend at all?
No.
Can't afford it.
Okay, well, for those gamblers, degenerates at home, I was a 3-point favorite on the road, which is kind of interesting because we could very easily lose to Purdue. Over under 54.5.
Over.
Really?
Plus, I can't imagine betting on a team I haven't seen play.
You need to start gambling, man. So, what do you think? So, Space Cowboy, -3 spread for Iowa. You hammering that at all?
Yeah, I would pray. Especially with quarterback's going to be and having your coach gone. I feel like that is a pretty big advantage.
You know what we should do? We should each put in $5 and then put it on an Iowa bet every week and just let it continue to build up and let it ride all season.
What if we lose in the first week?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Then we're kind of...
Also, if at any point in time we lose that bet, then we're just out all of the money. If we just...
But then we're only out $5 if you look at it like that. The real degenerate's mindset. So it sounds like you're out is what I'm getting right now.
Maybe we could take something.
All right, well, it's got to be done.
What if we do $2 a piece, and then it's like $10 total every week?
And we do what? What would the bet be?
Well, on the spread or the over-under.
You Venmo me, I'll put it in my account, and I won't ever actually make the bets, and at the end of the year, you'll all get $18 back.
You guys are so fucking tight.
Actually, I like that. That way I can't... That way, if all goes downhill from here, I'll just have $18 waiting for me at the end of the season.
There you go.
And you can go buy a case of beer.
It's like 12 cans of raviolis.
You get a lot of food at McDonald's for $18.
A lot of ramen for $12.
Like 17 condoms. But yeah, nope, football season's here. Does anybody have anything else? Otherwise, wrap the show up. Tailgating here 3 days from now.
I thought
I had something. I can't remember.
There's gonna be.
Is Austin, what time will Austin have his googly eyes on Saturday?
Ooh. What's the over under?
Kickoff.
No, although he's not going to the game, and then having to come back with that sober up stage, and we're playing darts before. Oh, kickoff might not be bad. I'm gonna say 4:30.
I was gonna say 4.
Give me halftime.
Are we doing Price's Right rules?
Yes.
2:00.
Can I say halftime? Does that work?
Yeah.
Well, no, because like we're gonna 4.
Need... Sure. Yeah.
3:30, if not halftime, then.
But, all right. Anything else? Well, football season's here. Hawkeyes start against Purdue Saturday. Hopefully we can keep Rondale Moore and the boys in check over there. West Lafayette, come back 1-0, take on Northwestern, do no naked bootlegs, and go on from there. But, yeah, have a good time this weekend. Crack some beers. Treat it like a regular game day. Do your normal shit. And 2:30 kickoff. What channel? Anybody know?
No idea.
Big Ten Network. So, yeah. Go. 2:30, Big Ten Network, -3 line. Iowa's favored, 54.5 over under. Go throw some money on that. Enjoy the season, everybody. This is what we've been waiting for. Thanks for listening, and as always, go Hawks.